Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Close Up. I'm your host, Joe.
And I'm Justin.
Today, I've got a spoiler review of The Ballerina for you, or just Ballerina. From the world of John Wick, Ballerina, I believe, is the official title. It's a long one. So, Justin has not seen this one, but I'll be explaining it to him. Which, let's just get into that for my first question, going from our extreme long shot into our medium shot. Why didn't you have an interest in seeing The Ballerina? You seen the rest of the John Wick movies?
I think it's because... Well, I liked the world of John Wick, but I felt like it was kind of done. And I don't know if it's going to be quite the same. And I just wasn't, you know, I just wasn't that pumped up for it. Even John Wick 4 was starting to feel like a little bit too much, but it was the end. So I was like, okay, you know...
Yeah.
The story is starting to lose my interest a bit. It's like, okay, I've seen this done a bunch of times. Yeah, they're good.
How many times can he headshot a guy?
Yeah, it's like, well, after a while, it starts feeling kind of the same. But it was like, okay, yeah, I'll go see number 4. But now it's a spinoff, and it's like, well, in this story, I don't have much of a stake in it right now. So it's not really drawing me in, that's all.
I'm going to retroactively say spoilers for the whole John Wick franchise, because this is kind of a continuation in a way, so just spoilers for John Wick 1 to 4, because that's probably going to come up in the questioning about certain things, John Wick's inclusion in this movie. Which, yeah, I understand your point, for sure, and I can't say you're wrong that it about the way that it feels, because it still is a John Wick kind of movie, and the action feels very similar. So if you are already getting burnt out on that, you're probably still gonna feel the same way about this one. It's just somebody else doing it, and not quite as cool as Keanu Reeves. But let's get into that thing I was just talking about. So I know... When you watched the trailer, you were concerned even just seeing John Wick in it, because you're like, why would they show John Wick in that? Is this like a sequel to John Wick 4, where at the end he's supposedly dead and the saga of John Wick's over, and nope, the ballerina comes out and John Wick's in the trailer? This is kind of a weird one, because it's nearly an interquel and a sequel. At the same time,
what?
Like, at different parts, there are scenes very early in the movie when Eve is doing her ballerina training with the Ruskaroma, where John Wick shows up, and I believe this is, I don't remember when he first saw the Ruskaroma. Was it in John Wick 1 or 2 that he went to? I think it was number 2.
Yeah.
So basically, we see his meeting with the Ruskaroma from Eve's perspective at a certain point during her training. So like the first time we see John Wick, it's technically in the middle of John Wick 2. And she actually has an interaction with him there in the middle of him trying to have his quest to get out of this line of work. And she's just entering this line of work and he's trying to get out. And he's basically like, you still have an option to leave. Once you're in the world, they're not going to let you leave. But as far as the Ruskaroma goes, the door is still open for you. You have a chance to get out right now before you're even in it.
So this is really before the first movie, I guess.
Because
like you said, he's still trying to get out, or is it? Well, or is it?
No, I mean, in the middle of number 2, because in number 2, because he went, the plot of number 2, if I recall, was in the first one, he got back in to assassinate the guy who killed his dog and stole his car.
Okay.
But in the second one, that guy was like, hey, well, you're back in the game. You came out of retirement, so now you're back in. And that was where number 2, 3, and 4 happened, because he had to get back out again now that he was in. So he first meets Eve in the middle of John Wick 2, basically, and he tries to say, hey, before you even get in this life, you do have an out right now. So then Eve's story continues. She does become an assassin. And I believe the next time she sees John Wick at the end of the movie, it's around the time of John Wick, between John Wick 3 and 4. And I'm not really sure where it ends, but it might end after 4 or during the events of 4 sometime.
So it's mixed.
Yeah. Hmm. And I think another big clue when I watched the trailer was the appearance of Lance Reddick as the clerk at the Continental. I'm like, well, he died in number 4. So the fact that he's even in the trailer kind of clued me in that this was a prequel of sorts.
I guess so. I didn't recognize him in the trailer. I was like,
yeah, I think you only watched it once and it was a brief scene, but
it was very brief, but
yeah. So this is sort of an interquel. It's kind of, what was this person doing while John Wick was off on his revenge quest for these other movies, which you've probably already seen. And it does set up for a sequel, which will push the world forward, I imagine, will probably be set after John Wick 4, if they do a Ballerina 2. But yeah, it doesn't cheapen the legacy of John Wick, because it doesn't at this time anyway, because he was still alive and operating in this world as sort of a living legend, which obviously we see in the John Wick movies. But it was kind of fun to see it from the perspective of another assassin in this world, somebody who was brought up in the Ruskaroma, the same as John Wick was. Sort of a, wow, you're like the biggest name to ever come out of this place where I'm training. You're kind of a hero around here.
And he's totally like,
don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool later on when, at the very end, John Wick is kind of the boss fight in a way. Where Eve, skipping way forward towards the end of the movie here, Eve ends up breaking this alliance between certain tribes in the assassin world, between the Ruskaroma and this cult of people who kind of play by their own rules. The assassins people know who they are, but also they don't really play by the rules the same way. They're kind of halfway in. They're like, well, nobody in the assassin world likes these people, but we still interact with them. We still let them stay at the Continentals and stuff because we'd rather they be allied with us than against us. But even we're like, these people go a little far. Anyway, she ended up breaking the treaty between the Ruskaroma and them by going rogue and going after them on her own. And they're like, well, she's a Ruskaroma, so the treaty's broken. And they're like, she has nothing to do with us. She's going rogue. And they're like, we don't care. Deal with her. And they're like, fine. If we send John Wick to kill her, are all debts forgiven? Yeah, sure. Have your man kill her by midnight. Okay. So she's in the cultist base. It's like enemies everywhere. And she's trying to kill the head cultist, and then John Wick shows up and the entire town shuts down. And they're like, okay, let the wolf work. Let him find his prey and deal with her. Basically, all the guards just stop searching for Eve and they just let John Wick do his work. And then John Wick does find her, and they have a fight. And this is between John Wick 3 and 4, so John Wick isn't really at full strength, but it's still very clear that, you know, this is the GOAT, you don't mess with him. And Eve holds her own pretty well, considering, but John is clearly the superior fighter here, and he does beat her. But then he checks his watch, and he does sympathize with her, and he does remember her from their meeting years previous, and he's like, look, I don't really like these people either. So I was given till midnight to kill you, and I'm still going to do that, but it's like 6 minutes to midnight, or what, it was like 10 minutes to midnight or something. He's like, so I'm here to kill you by midnight, but I'm going to give you the last 10 minutes to do what you will, and then I'll fulfill my end of the job. So that was sort of his cheap way of letting her out to finish the mission in the end, because he did have the sniper trained on her basically the entire time. He did kind of help her out for those 10 minutes, but he was ready to kill her if she couldn't do her thing in time. So I really liked, in all the John Wick movies, the way that the honor system of these assassins plays out. It's really sketchy, but they all have their own sort of code. that they follow, and that's just one of the consistently coolest parts of John Wick, is seeing how this world operates. And I'd say that's the biggest strength of Ballerina, is it takes an already cool world and manages to expand the lore in it, specifically by adding this new offshoot tribe that everyone is already sketched out by. And it's cool to see what they're all about. They basically have an entire community to themselves where they raise their children in this lifestyle, and the entire community is part of this assassin group. And that's basically where the movie starts, is Eve's father was he was an outsider who they let marry into this cult, and then he had Eve, but then after the mother died, he kidnapped Eve and ran away with her, and the cult came looking for payback, so the cult killed her father, and she managed to escape, and Winston helped her get into the Roscaroma, but the cult sort of just assumed she was dead, but once they figured out who she was, by the time she got to the town, they're like, oh, it's you. You are technically one of ours, you know, you should come home where you belong, sort of deal. And so she did have this connection to them, which I can't remember if she knew specifically, but she didn't even really, actually, no, she didn't. She didn't even know who killed her father or why until she started piecing together the clues in the first act of the movie, where it's like, who are these people? Because I've seen this symbol before, like this tattoo on the guy's arm. She killed another guy with that tattoo and was like, oh, I've seen this before. So what is this? And she's following the trail, and they're like, you really don't want to mess with these people. But she ingratiates herself to the right people and ends up infiltrating and finding this cult. Well, I say infiltrating, but I'd mean more like she gets there and has to keep a down low profile, not like she joins them or anything like that. But one twist that I thought was pretty cool, because it was very, very subtle, was once she's caught out by the cult, there's this one henchwoman who we've basically seen for half the movie at this point, who's sort of the Eve's chief rival in this cult. And at one point, this henchwoman catches up to Eve and then basically has the twist reveal that it's her sister. Which, if you're just watching the movie very passively, feels like it's coming out of nowhere. But I was reminded in that moment, I'm like, oh, holy crap. It reminded me of the one scene at the very, very beginning where Eve and her father are still living peacefully before the assassins came to kill him. And he mentioned something offhand about her sister. He had one line at the very beginning about her sister, who we never saw. It was never acknowledged again. And it was like an hour and a half later that this twist revealed that that was her sister. And I'm like, nope. The movie did set it up in one line right at the start that I never questioned again. I never remembered the fact of the sister even enough to question during the movie, why is this henchwoman so important? Oh, that's probably her sister. Totally went over my head because it was very subtly implanted. Like, I remembered it enough once the twist actually was revealed, but not enough to be thinking about it throughout the movie that this might be relevant and come up later. But then the sister dies basically immediately, and it was very weird that they set that up just to rip the rug out from under her that way. Strange choice. But yeah, in terms of some other filmmaking elements, I found the acting in this was, most of the John Wick movies, the actors are on the stoic side, and this one was no different. The actors are stoic, arguably a little wooden at times, though I feel like that's just kind of part of the franchise's character at this point. You know what you're getting. but Ana de Armas is really good as the lead, despite her not feeling remarkably fleshed out. I think one of the ways she demonstrates her character best is through the action, where she's a lot more merciful than John Wick. When you're watching the John Wick movies, he's just taking out everybody left and right. He's just murder machine in every scene. Whereas in her action scenes, she doesn't necessarily kill everybody all the time. Usually sometimes she incapacitates them or is just trying to survive. She's not as much of a death monster as John Wick is. So I think just through action alone, you see, okay, she's not as corrupted as some other people in this world are, like an angel of death sort of figure. And hand-to-hand action is the majority of the combat, same as most of the John Wick movies. And I've seen some criticism that her fighting style doesn't feel distinctly different enough to John Wick. But also, I can mitigate that criticism by saying that she was raised in the same tribe as he was. They learned to fight from the same people. So it doesn't feel necessarily wrong from an in-world perspective that her fighting style is very similar. And once you see John Wick finally in action in this movie, it is clear that he is, you know, she doesn't do the double, triple gun tap thing. She doesn't have the jacket that she uses as a bulletproof shield sort of thing. She does fight differently. If anything, she has to be a bit more crafty with the weapons she uses. She has a lot more improvised weapons, those are some of the best moments in the franchise, is finding improvised weapons. I love the bit when she uses ice skates as a weapon at one point. They're kind of like tied together on shoelaces and she's using them as flailing weapons, which is pretty awesome. There's an entire scene where she just has to fight with a sash of grenades, which is pretty cool. I think one of my favorite ones with the grenades was she's on the other side of this iron blast door, and I'm trying to remember how she did it first. She comes into the room and there's a guy on the other side of the door, and she sticks the grenade in his mouth and closes the door on him, and then she's hiding behind the blast door, and then he blows up, and then she whips a grenade out in the hall where she just came from, and then she closes the door on the hallway, and the guy who blew up already blew a hole in the wall behind the door, so then she gets through that way. It felt like a video game cutscene or something. And there was another one I thought was pretty cool where it was Norman Reedus's character, and he, at one point, he's fighting in the basement of a Continental hotel, which, you know, that's a no-go, but they got away with it this time. Well, some of them did. Some of them got executed by Continental staff afterwards for starting this. But there's one point where there's this kind of plastic wrap, and he ends up wrapping the guy in plastic and then shooting him with a shotgun, and then all the blood splatter gets caught on the plastic wrap and doesn't make a mess anywhere. It was just a really visually cool kill for its brutality. And cool, we're a civilized world. We don't make the mess. We let keep the blood splatter on the inside of the wrap. Keep the Continental floors clean. There's also a lot of great stunt falls and use of environmental objects like crashing through tables and windows, and just the use of the environment was very well done in the action. My main criticism of it is in the hand-to-hand fights. Compared to other John Wick movies, it feels a touch slower, a little less polished. Still really cool, but playing comparison games is just not quite as good as other ones. Still miles above most action movies in terms of stunt work, but comparatively within the franchise, Yeah, okay. This stunt team is a bit of a step down. And I think Ana de Armas handled it fairly well, but she definitely is not as believable in these action roles as Reeve is. He just feels like, yeah, this is John Wick. But Ana de Armas is more like, okay, she's playing a part, and that's like, she's good at it, but it's less immersive, I find. There is one really, speaking of like other improvised weapons, there's this really cool scene, which I think they did show in the trailer somewhat, where it was a flamethrower on flamethrower battle, where the flamethrowers are just shooting flames like bullets across the room, and there's another guy, she has the flamethrower, and the other guy has the flamethrower, and they're just having like a flamethrower gun battle in the room wearing asbestos cloaks, and they're just, which is really cool, and then she runs out of steam, and then in the trailer, she has to get this fire hydrant. So it's like the flamethrower versus the fire hydrant until they can get close quarters again. In terms of visuals, it looked decent. I really liked how it was mostly filmed wide, so you can see the action, see the environment, see the acting and the blocking. I do like a good close-up as much as the next person, but in a action franchise specifically, I already said the acting is, average or below sometimes, the wide framing helped you see all the cool parts and masked the less than stellar aspects. In terms of thematic focus, there was a lot of, I'd say the main idea was freedom of choice versus fate. The bad guys are very strongly bent on this angle of fate. Like, oh, you were the daughter who was stolen from us, and wow, you return home, what do you know? Whereas the heroes are more, we make our own choices all this time. Like John Wick told her at the beginning, you can get out of here while you still have a chance. The door is open. And she chooses to stay there. She chooses to go on this revenge quest. It is a series of choices that end up kind of ironically bringing her back to where the bad guys think she belongs. But, she didn't join them in the end. It is. So it's about the push and pull of personal choice versus destiny of sorts. Though I'd say the idea of choice wins out in the end, even though it looked pretty coincidental in a lot of cases. It's the idea. I think that's what separates this cultist mentality versus the other tribes. They are independents who make decisions for themselves, and these tribes, this cultist tribe is very much top down. They do whatever the chancellor says. They have this nearly religious zealotry about their community. And one other thing I enjoyed about part of the plot in the halfway through, there was a good moment when she's going to the gun shop and getting her supplies where the bad guys find them and attack them in the middle of the gun shop, which I thought was a great subversion of the John Wick trope of, okay, he goes to the gun shop and gets all his equipment explained out to him. Like, no, there was an action scene right in the middle of that in the gun shop because, cool. I'm like, I was just expecting a regular roll. All right, she gets the rundown, she picks her weapon, she moves on, but no, there was an action scene there. My biggest problem with this story is it's kind of just a run-of-the-mill revenge plot, which everybody's seen a movie like this, they killed my father, so I'm gonna kill the head guy or whoever made that, and I'm gonna kill a bunch of people on the pathway to it. And that's the long and short of this plot. Basically, it's not anything you haven't seen before in terms of a revenge quest. It's more about the execution of its action scenes that keeps this thing afloat as an entertaining movie in its own right. It's got that steeped in John Wick lore and that John Wick action, which if you're not burnt out on it, like you already said, you're going to have a really good time with. I think just as a movie in its own right, it's entertaining. You don't need to see the other John Wicks to enjoy this one. But it helps to have seen the others. It is effectively John Wick 5 and setting up a path for the franchise to continue.
Well, I think that is something that the John Wick franchise kind of suffers with, like, consistently, is the first four movies were all riding on the interesting thing that happened in the first movie. Everything was just carrying forward. There wasn't really a heck of a lot of plot development beyond expanding how this world works. But for the point of, like, the quests, it's like, oh, revenge quest. Well, all we had was that initial kickoff, and it spirals from there. So I don't know if the writing team behind John Wick is as stellar as we think. I know these guys know their action. They know their action really well.
That's what it's based on. I mean, if I recall, the story behind John Wick was a bunch of stuntmen got together and they said, we've been directed in action scenes for very many years, and I think we have a grip on how to make a movie. We definitely have a grip on action. So what happens when a bunch of talented stuntmen with a lot of experience make their own action movie? And that's what John Wick was. And then it was really successful and they kept it going. And I do think it's good in many ways that John Wick is a four-part saga of, okay, this guy tried to get out and now he's back in and now he's trying to spend the next three movies getting out and working his way up the ladder over time, facing more challenging enemies. It's good that they had an ending for that character. Like, I agree with you. The writing is, like, the dialogue and the acting, and, like, there's a lot of bits about it that have always been, okay. But what it does very well, it makes up for with the rest, which is why these movies have always been critically acclaimed, despite a lot of things that wouldn't fly in other movies.
Yeah, I think writing is probably, it's like, for the franchise is the weakest element, and switching to a new character, having to write something brand new from scratch, it just makes that flaw more apparent.
I agree. And also, they sort of did the same thing as they did with John Wick, because the very ending, she has a bounty put out on her by all the tribes because she went rogue. And it basically ends with her about to go on the run from all these tribes. So they're kind of setting up for another John Wick 3 situation where everybody's after her with a really big bounty. Which, okay, I've seen that in this franchise before. Can they do it a little differently? Is this movie even going to do well enough to do it differently? I don't know. It hasn't been an outright bomb, I don't believe, but it's not doing that great either at this time.
I'm pretty sure it's only doing, like, okay.
Yeah, Ballerina, it's made, at the time of this recording, it's made $100 million at the box office. And I'm not sure what its budget was. Some people here say $90 million. So, okay, it's barely breaking even.
Oh, okay, well.
Yeah, I'm not sure when it came out. It might be a week.
Oh, I thought it was last week.
Actually, no, it's been out for a couple weeks now.
Oh, okay.
Came out in June 6th.
So by Hollywood math, that's still a loss.
Yeah.
If it doesn't do better in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, it's looking like it'll barely break even, if not be a loss altogether. So I don't know what the future of the John Wick franchise is going to be. I also heard they made a TV series called The Continental, and that didn't do great either, critically or commercially. So the future of John Wick is up in the air right now. Although I would like to see a Ballerina sequel. I think Ana de Armas did a good job. She's a good successor to Reeves, as she proved in this movie, and I think it could survive with the right direction and a bit more polish in the screenwriting department. It could be good. Personally, if I'm ranking the John Wick movies, I think this is better than 3. It's about on par with John Wick 2. It's not the worst movie in the franchise, I'll say that. John Wick 3 is the only one I didn't really care for out of all 4 of them. But I like the ballerina better than 3. So there you have it. It's middle of the pack John Wick. It's kind of in there with...
Well.
Yeah. Middle of the pack, closer to the bottom.
So what do you give it as a ranking then?
I'd say it's worth a watch. It's still, in its own right, a really fun action movie with, as I said, the John Wick movies, their action is far and away better than most of the action you get in action blockbusters. Its plot is generic, but then so are most things. Ana de Armas is a really good lead in it, and, you know, if you already like the franchise, it's another solid entry in it. As far as action movies go, you could do a heck of a lot worse. It's just not an all-around stellar movie, but it's definitely worth watching at some point, if you're a fan of that kind of thing. So those are my thoughts on The Ballerina. You have any more questions about it, or?
I don't know. It just sounds like a John Wick version of Black Widow to me.
Yeah, but it's better than the Black Widow movie. It's miles ahead of that.
Okay.
If you want to see the Black Widow movie, but good, watch The Ballerina.
So, yeah, okay, so like it's similar enough.
Yeah, I guess, similar enough. All right, where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at jchurchtpm.
And you can find me on Instagram at ThoughtPlane Media. And check out ThoughtPlane.ca for everything else we do. There's hundreds of posts there for free. And you can donate a buck or two there if you like our work and you're feeling generous. We hope to see you on the next close-up with Ryan and Joe and Justin. Till next time.
Take care.